Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about activities of the Holy Spirit. And again, we start with the understanding that we don't know everything, that we have, each one of us has formed our beliefs and our doctrine and even the basis by which we have developed a relationship with God based on incomplete information. And just by its being incomplete, we accept that we are going to have to change some of what we believe. Now, God knows that. So this is not about disappointing him or sin or anything like that. It's about being willing to change what we think we know. So we don't want to start thinking that, okay, we're going to accept something by faith because this is what we believe, this is what we've been taught, this is what's written in the Bible. Instead, we want to, the whole reason we look for teachings, we accept other people telling us their viewpoints, or even asking God for revelation about, for instance, something we're reading in the scriptures, or his insight into a situation or direction, asking him for wisdom, is that we ourselves don't have it. That there's an area in us that needs more information or more insight, a different viewpoint, the right one, the way, the truth, the life. We accept that he has more of what we're looking for than we do ourselves. So we aren't rigid about what he has to say to us. We are open and letting him, we're finding that balance about being available so that he can pour into us whatever he chooses. Now with that, we often hear the whole notion of the fear of being deceived. And we've talked about this before, but it keeps coming up. So I just really want to encourage you to think this through. If you can't keep yourself from being deceived, and so that the only option is to not let anything in, no new ideas, don't expose yourself to anything new, don't be available for anything new, to prevent yourself from being deceived, if that's your only defense, what you're saying is you can't discern between what is God and what is not. And I just propose that that's exactly where God wants to take you. He wants to take you out of that prison. We look at it as a security, but it's actually keeping us from freedom. One of the big things to remember is that you are free and safe to make mistakes. And if you think about what you believe, that if you don't have all the truth, which is why we're all in the process of learning. If you thought you had all the truth, you wouldn't need to learn. Okay, but we're starting with the assumption that we all need to learn. So with that in mind, there are areas where we don't have all the information we need. We don't have God's wisdom. So that's an area where we can say that we are already deceived, because we have still, even though we don't have all the information, we have still built our own theology. This is how God works. This is how our enemies work, the devil. This is my place and my role in the way God works and in this world. This is what I need to avoid, and this is what I need to do. And we have created our personal philosophy and personal theology based on information that hopefully we recognize is incomplete. So in those areas of incompleteness, which is across the board, we are already deceived. And we are vulnerable. The point is to not be overly concerned about being deceived, but about trusting God. If you can't keep yourself from being deceived, how can God let you be free in other situations? Because he is not afraid of you being deceived. Let's look at that illustration of Peter getting out of the boat to go, and Jesus calls him out of the boat. And Peter responds. That's what he wants for us, is to come out of our own theology, our own system of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, the way of approaching ourselves and God and others, and being available, just open to perhaps what he has for us is totally different than what we think we know. So we step out and we allow God to protect us to the degree he wants us to be protected. So this all comes back to, does God love you? Or is this all a test? And unfortunately, many of us think it is. This is all a test. And of course, we all have failed, and that's why bad things happen in our lives. And those are exactly the theologies, the doctrines that God wants to take and put to the test. Does God want you to make mistakes? It doesn't really matter whether this is something that he has set apart for us to do, because we are going to make mistakes. I want you to think about what our definition of mistakes is. Doing something wrong the first time we do it. Let's think, even Jesus, when he was learning to walk, fell down. We don't think of that. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. He didn't get it right the first time. If it's okay for Jesus to make a mistake, that's what how we learn things, is by doing something wrong the first time. And we have a tendency to learn so much more from our mistakes than by doing it right the first time. And that's what we want. We want to be actively pursuing what God has for each one of us. So recognizing that insisting on our own doctrines and our own beliefs, you can't talk with somebody who is that rigid. They have put themselves in a prison and said, no, this is the only way to believe it. If you don't believe this, you are deceived. You can't talk with that person because they have locked themselves in their own cell and they think they are safe. And in one sense, they are. But they are protecting themselves from God. You and I, who have that desire for freedom, we're going to make more mistakes. We're going to get skinned knees as we learn to ride our bikes. We're maybe hurt other people, hurt ourselves. But we are going to have a more loving and lively relationship with God, because we are making ourselves available to him. Lord, whatever you want for me, don't let me settle for anything less than everything you want for me. So when we start to allow the Holy Spirit to be active in our lives and start embracing and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself in whatever way he chooses, and even some of the more unusual ways he expresses himself, they can be scary. They can be, when we don't want to share them with other people. This is a very, your experience is going to be different than anybody else's. And that's the way it should be, because God is a very personal God. And one of the things that we are all learning is how to keep our mouths shut. Just because you do have an experience of one kind or another doesn't mean you are to share it. And every teaching you're learning doesn't mean it's your job to share it. I think the more we learn to keep keep silent on what he is teaching us, the more he's willing to teach us. God wants to share his plans. He wants to share everything he's doing. That's part of his nature. It's his biggest part is he's a giver of information, a giver of every part of his very nature. So he wants us to be able to receive and cooperate and join him in what he's doing. But to be able to receive, part of that is to be able to keep our mouth shut, to remain silent. So look at the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life as something simply between you and him. This is not about a ministry opportunity or making yourself qualified for heaven or a higher place in heaven, or then, you know, leading to something else, maybe power to do something else. But this is one area, there are many, one area where we develop another facet of our personal relationship with God. So we started talking last week about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism is one of those weird words that there are a lot of religious connotations about it. And we're not going to really get into too deep into talking about the different language, because we want to focus on what does this mean to you? And that's why I encourage you to take your concept of baptism or getting to know the Holy Spirit, immersion, about just having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, take that to God. And you could say something like, Lord, I don't know what you have for me in regards to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but I'm open. And start there. Now, you may not feel comfortable doing that, but that's not about the Holy Spirit. That's about God. Do you trust Him? Does He love you? There may be wounds that are revealed through this process that God wants to show you, not so He can get on your case, not so you can fix them, but so that He can heal them. Let Him speak His truth into that fear, that those getting rid of those bars that are keeping you in your prison. Freedom is scary. It's a lot more work than being in prison. But the rewards are so much greater. And it's who you are. You are free. You might as well learn how to live free now. You're going to have to learn some point in time. Now's better than later. So we spoke a little bit about the Holy Spirit infilling us. When we were born again, Jesus comes to live within. And really, we don't have the full understanding of how all this happens, what it really looks like. And maybe over time, God will reveal that more. But for right now, we just accept, okay, something happens. We are changed. When we are born again, we become a living spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit. We are born again and become a living spirit. So we can communicate spirit to spirit with God. So we are birthed by the Spirit and indwelt by the Spirit. So there is going to be times when we are more aware of our spirit nature. And this is where there's a drawing. It's like when you feel at home, or you're trying to make a decision, you finally make a decision, and then you have peace with it. Yes, this was the right decision. Recognizing the Spirit drawing you will give you the strength to lay aside those beliefs that may be keeping you in your prison. And sometimes it's a very comfortable prison. But recognize that inner drawing, and it may even be an outer drawing as well. Now, one of our challenges will be that that drawing by the Holy Spirit creates a thirst and a dissatisfaction, so that we will hunger and thirst for his path for us, for our destiny, for our future, for what he has for us. He makes that, changes our circumstances, so that even something you thought you really wanted, you get it, and it gives you no satisfaction. Even things about ministering in God. A lot of people think that if they could just find their ministry, find their purpose, find their anointing, their calling, be in ministry, that's what would satisfy their soul. That's what gives them peace. That's what gives them comfort. But none of that is true. There may be temporary encouragements and a level of comfort, but the only thing that satisfies is knowing God completely, becoming one, whole, complete, entire, spirit, soul, and body. So your satisfaction is not going to come from doing something. It's going to come from being one. And the closer you are to becoming one, spirit, soul, and body, remember your spirit's already one with God. So the more your soul and your body line up with that oneness, you're also lining up with God. The more that happens, the things of this world fade away. Not that you won't be involved in them, but you'll hardly notice that you're involved in them. Your right hand won't know what your left hand is doing. When the Lord then comes knocking and says, I want your attention, there won't be a second thought. Everything else on your schedule will be cleared off. Not out of duty or looking for a payoff, but simply responding to your being. So, as the Holy Spirit starts to make himself known to you, let him do it in whatever way he chooses. There may be a really clear realization. There may just be an acknowledgement that, okay, I've given him free rein to do whatever he chooses in my life. I'm just going to trust that he's going to lead me into the situation that I need to be in order to know him on his terms and in his timing, or put the teaching or the book or people around me that I need to know in order to be where he wants me to be. And then you can leave it up to him. Now, one of the ways he does this is to give us desires, things that are intriguing to us. Oh, I'm really interested in that, Lord. Will you teach me about that? Now, those desires may also come from our own past or our own soul, and that's fine. You still ask, Lord, I'm interested in this. Is this something you want to teach me about right now? Then you simply ask. He's happy to talk to you about that. And then if it's a yes or a no, that's how the best way to approach God is to start with yes and no questions. Lord, I'm really interested in, you know, learning about the gifts of the Spirit. Is this an area we can be focusing on right now? And he may say, no, there's other things I want to talk to you about. Or may say, yes. Then you go, okay, well, I'm really interested in this area. And then you start having a conversation with him, because that's the bottom line. He is your instructor and your personal counselor, your personal trainer. We're all in this together. We're not trying to, you know, in the one sense, he's the teacher and the trainer, but he's also our tutor. He's sitting next to us during the class, wanting you to succeed. He's going to give you the answers to the test. You just have to take it. And if you fail the first time, just take it again. So throughout your life, there's going to be times when drawings and infillings and immersions and whatever you want to call your experiences with the Holy Spirit, they're going to occur. And we want to be open and welcome his presence in our lives and his activities. The Lord has a specific relationship for each of us. And it's best to let him reveal himself as he chooses. So again, the best approach to learning about the baptism in the Spirit is the same as for knowing the Lord. You simply ask. Now, here's a couple of ways you can ask. And you just remember that the Lord is not nearly as concerned about asking him the right way as we are. He loves you, and he wants to give good things to you. That's his goal, is to create in us healthy receivers so that he can give everything he is. He doesn't want us hurt. This is why he doesn't pour it all out right from the very beginning. We wouldn't be able to take it. But we can start with questions like, Lord, do you want me to be baptized in your Spirit? Then, Lord, is that you? And you may not understand what that means, and that's fine. And if you have a better word that you want to put there, that's fine. The whole idea is you are making yourself to be fully complete, engulfed by your new nature, by the Holy Spirit. Lord, then final test. What you're hearing, Lord, is that you? When he says yes, not if he says no, you need to work through that. And we've gone through other teachings on how to do that, and we'll, I'm sure, visit that again as well. But let's, for now, for the sake of our discussion, you've got a positive yes. Lord, is that you? Yes. So then, Lord, I ask you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit, in whatever way you choose, whenever you choose, and now would be fine. Then you just let the Lord have a couple of moments. It doesn't have to be a long time. This is not something that you need to fast for 40 days for, or go off into a cabin and in seclusion for. Give him a couple moments to make himself known. By asking the Lord for the baptism, you have made yourself available to him unconditionally in this area, so that whatever he wants for you, you have accepted and acknowledged his right and ability and authority to give it to you in his manner and timing. Now, whether you sense a change at that moment or not is not related to the asking. Though you can be assured that he will, in some way, acknowledge your asking by responding. Simply be aware and ready to respond with stillness, gratitude, and rest. In other words, at some point in time, he will make himself known in some way. And just accept it. It may be really obvious. It may be something you need to be have confirmed by the Lord, by God. But rest assured, he will make himself known to you. This is something he wants for you. This is not something he's trying to hide from you. So we'll pick it up here next week. Until then, this is Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great evening.